we had our small groups this week, and in the video, I did not count them, but I would say at least 10 times the question was asked, are you a fan or a follower? And in the small group material, it said, you know, that's a hard place to start a sermon series or a study, because nobody really wants to, quote, just be a fan of something, if you will. It's much more fun to be a participant or a follower, if you will. And with God, it's different. You know, I mean, I'm a fan of a football team because I know that there is no way that at my age or my ability that I would ever get to play the game. So it's comfortable to be the fan. But in my Christian walk, I don't want to just be a fan. I want to be somebody who can really get in the game and really be what God wants me to be. And so this morning, we're going to look at the fact that while the question is, are you a fan or a follower? And a lot of people might say, well, I'm not really sure. I don't know how far I've gone. I don't know where I'm at exactly. I think we need to make sure that we realize, as Kyle was talking on that short video, that anyone can follow Jesus. There are no prerequisites to getting into the club, so to speak. If you are breathing, Jesus died for you, and He wants a relationship with you. And so He said in Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And so we're going to talk about that open invitation this morning that says anyone. And as we read how He called a couple of His disciples, we need to understand that when He says anyone, He means everyone. And these people were not the normal people that would get picked, if you will, to go follow a Jewish rabbi around and become their apprentices. So stand with me this morning as we read our passage of Scripture. Let's hold our Bibles in the air as we always do and say, this is my Bible. I believe that this is the infallible Word of God. I'll put its principles to practice in my life each day that I live. And because I read this Bible as the Word of God, I will never leave this place the same. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, Luke says this, one day as Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around Him and listening to the Word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put it out a little from shore. Then He sat down and taught the people from the boat. When He had finished speaking, He said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because You say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed Him. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would take following You seriously, that we would understand that while anyone can follow You, it takes commitment, and it takes intentionality and a desire to be in a relationship with You. As we get to know You more and as we get to understand why You sent Your Son to die for us, help us to realize that we are precious in Your sight. And that as we decide to follow You, You're going to guide us and lead us where you want us to go at our pace. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you have ever driven by a car lot that says, "Everyone approved"? Or you see an ad and it says 0% interest on all cars on the lot, but there's always fine print. There's always qualifications. Much in the day of Jesus, if you wanted to be a ministerial student, if you wanted to follow and learn from a rabbi or a teacher of the law, there were certain things that you had to do. You would most likely decide that you wanted to be a priest, or your family would decide that you wanted to be a priest for you, and you would start studying at a very young age. And for most Jews, they would memorize a certain amount of Scripture and stop at about the age of 12. But if you wanted to be what Peter calls a master or a teacher or a rabbi, you had to really keep studying. And they had to memorize most of the Old Testament. So before they were able to even start following the rabbi, they would have to memorize all the Old Testament scriptures, and they would have to have gone through much training before they even started to be the apprentice of a master or a rabbi. And it would be much like today. If you wanted to go to Harvard, you better have a 4.0 grade point average. You better have a 32 on your ACT or a 1600 on your SAT. And if you don't have those, you might as well go apply at a different college, because you're not getting in. And so when Jesus asked Peter, James, and John to follow him, most people, because Jesus had, quote, studied, he didn't have to study, but he had gone through all the training and all the studying to be a rabbi or to be a teacher, and everybody recognized that. That's why Jesus, or Peter, said in the boat, you know, "Master, you know, I'll do it because you say to do it. I don't really believe we're going to catch anything." But after he catches the fish, then he bows down and he says, "Lord, leave me, because I'm not a good man." I've watched a little bit of, I can't remember exactly what the show is called, but it's The Big Catch or something like that, and they're always showing the boats on the lakes in Alaska and out to sea and catching the crabs and everything. And there's a lot of language that they have to bleep out, and some scenes that they can't show because of, you know, when guys are just guys and they get together with each other and they're not trying to follow Jesus, guys can be pretty crude and vulgar and everything else. And I think at this point, Jesus or Simon's like, "You need to leave me, because I'm a sinful man." He knew who he was. He knew what he had done. And yet Jesus said, "Follow me." And when the people would have seen Jesus say to those kinds of people, "Follow me," they would have went, they don't have the qualifications to be a rabbi's apprentice or a teacher's assistant. They don't fit what the standard is. But Jesus says in Luke 9:23, "If anyone would follow me." And so anyone can follow Jesus. And we have to really understand that. And so what does anyone really mean? Anyone means anyone is welcome. The invitation to follow Christ really is totally open. I had the privilege, and it was a learning experience, and it was something that I did before I became a pastor at a church. But on Thursday nights at the rescue mission in Colorado Springs, I had Thursday nights, and that was the night I preached to the guys. And if you wanted to eat that night, you had to listen to me preach. That's the way they did it. If you wanted a hot meal from the rescue mission, you had to listen to the pastor preach. And so if you didn't want to listen to me preach, they'd give you a sack lunch and tell you that was good. But if you wanted inside, you had to listen to the pastor. And we were also the church for the rescue mission in Colorado Springs. Our drummer at one time was in the recovery program for the rescue mission. He was 25 years old. He had already served a sentence for dealing drugs. We had several people in the church wonder why he was on the platform playing the drums at times, because it was like, why is he up there? And the reason why he was up there was because he believed Luke 9:23 that said, if anyone wants to follow me. And he loved the fact that Jesus loved him. And he was not a good drummer. But you know what? He wanted to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and we worked our way through it for probably 2 or 3 years. And it was one of those things where the heart was what mattered. The talent didn't. And no one on Sunday mornings ever said, hey, that guy can't play. It was always us in practice going, what are you doing over there? But it was like we practiced to do our best, but then on Sunday mornings, we just let God take it, and God did. But a lot of people would have said, he's not qualified. And his name was Joe, and Joe had lived a really tough life. Our worship team got invited to go up to Teen Challenge in the mountains, and we got the opportunity to speak and to play for them. And when we got that invitation, Joe asked me what I was going to talk about, and I told him, I said, I'm not going to talk. I said, you are, and you're going to tell them what Jesus did for you, because they'll relate to you. I grew up in a Christian home, had a pretty good life and everything. You did not. He was all tatted up, and he'd had a rough time B.C. before Christ, but they listened to him. It was so cool, and it was proof that anybody can follow Jesus. And so the invitation is really open. It doesn't matter what you've done. You may say, since I've been your pastor, I've talked to several people, and I mean a lot of people, and several of those people have said, well, you know, there's just no way that God could forgive me. There's just no way I could go back and start over, because I've done too much and God would never want me. And that's just not true. The invitation really is open. If there are no anyone then means everyone. Okay? So number two is anyone means everyone. There are no qualifications. Jesus doesn't ask us to get our lives straightened out before we start following him. Or to even fix everything before we really start coming to church or anything like that. When you start as a pastor, they told me that if you're really preaching the gospel and if you're really trying to get people saved, your church is not going to be a pretty place every once in a while, because when you start letting sinners come in, it gets a little messy. But I'll be honest with you, it's messy even with Christians. So I think we have to realize that a little more mess is no big deal, because God loves us all. When I was about 15 years old, I was in a campground, that camp meeting. They gave the altar call. Several people went to the altar, and I went to that camp meeting, and they would not open up the snack shop until after the altar call was totally done, and people were all, you know, up from the altar, and all their hearts were cleared, and they'd prayed through and done their thing and got saved, and everything was cool. And that was great. So we were sitting on the edge of the tabernacle waiting for the snack bar to open up, and this gentleman was praying and with a pastor. And when they were finished praying, the pastor set him on the bench in the tabernacle. And I remember the pastor, and I remember this like it was yesterday. It's one of the things that made probably the biggest impression on my ministry and how I try to lead people to Jesus. Because when this pastor led this person to Christ, he set him on this pew and he said, okay, since you prayed and asked Jesus to be your Savior tonight, You can't drink, you can't smoke, you can't chew. I mean, and he started going through this huge long list of stuff that this guy had to stop doing. And I looked at my friend, who's a pastor also to this day, and I looked at Randy and I said, that guy's never coming back. I said, because that guy came because he didn't want to, he came to the altar to get saved because he didn't want to go to hell. And this guy's trying to change his life. And the only one who can really change your life is Jesus. And when you start following Him, Jesus will impress upon you the stuff that you either need to start or stop. So when someone prays and asks God to come into their heart or decides to follow Jesus in our church, my words of wisdom to them are, read your Bible, start in John, read through the New Testament, stop at Jude, don't go to Revelation, it'll freak you out. Then you can read the rest of the Gospels, start a prayer life daily, and come to church because you need the fellowship, and get into a small group because that's where you really grow. It's not about what you've done, what you do, or whatever. God will change those things at His place. Max Lucado wrote a book that said, God loves you just the way you are, but He wants you to be like Jesus. And He does. But that's a process. It's not something that happens overnight. So, since there are no qualifications, then that means there are no excuses. All the excuses you have for not following Jesus, all the excuses that you have for not coming back to God or going to God, they don't hold water. When Jesus invites anyone to follow Him, He doesn't just break down the barriers that keep people from learning more about God. He gets rid of the excuses. So, the person that has done really bad stuff can't say, well, I've done stuff that's too bad. Jesus wouldn't love me. The Bible says that God so loved the world, and that's everybody, that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever should believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And there is no, you know, there are some faiths or some denominations that believe that God has already chosen the people that are going to go to heaven. They call them the elect. My Bible says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we don't believe that when people are born, God says, okay, you're going to go to heaven and you're going to go to hell. That's not the way this works. We all have free will and we all get to make the choice. Now, quick caveat, because God's all-knowing, because God knows everything that's going to happen, He knows who's going to go to heaven and who's going to go to hell. But He didn't make that happen. He just knows who's going to make the choice, which should make us very comfortable that we have that choice to follow Him. And again, there are no excuses. There is no good reason for not following Jesus. He's made it really easy. We've complicated stuff. We've come up with the dress code or the behavior code that people, you know, if you come to our church, you need to dress this way. I was getting dressed this morning and I threw on my shirt and pants, and I'm like, I haven't worn a coat for a while. I wonder if I should wear a coat. I'm like, it's going to be 100 degrees today. I'm not wearing a coat. And, you know, when I don't wear a coat, very few people go, hey, where's your coat, Pastor? Leroy might give me a hard time every once in a while about not wearing a tie, but, you know, I think it's all in good fun. I wear a tie every once in a while. I appreciate those of us that, you know, we dress the way we feel like we should dress or want to dress because we're coming to church. But there's no dress code here. You come as you are. It's been neat over the years to see different people come and start coming. And I'll be honest with you, some people come and their dress may not be exactly appropriate. It doesn't take them long to figure out, and we don't say anything to them. They just kind of make changes. And it's really neat to see how God works. Again, there's no excuse. And there's no good reason not to follow Jesus. So when He says, if anyone wants to follow Me, He really does mean anyone. And last today is simply this. If it's anyone, but it is everything. And that's where it gets a little bit tough. And I don't think God is going, you know, when I think about Simon, Peter, and James and John, the Bible says that when Jesus said, "Follow me," it says that they pulled their boats up onto the shore. They'd been, I don't know how old they were. Peter was married. I don't know how old they were, but they'd been fishermen all their lives. That's what their dad did. I mean, you did what your parents did. So that's all they knew. But it says they pulled their boats onto the shore, they left the boats, and they followed him. They went fishing every once in a while, but I don't think it was to make a living. But they were willing to leave what they knew and what they felt comfortable with and follow Christ. Most of us are not going to have to leave a job. At times I've kind of envied some of the pastors that I know because they went into the pastorate right after college. So they went to high school, they went to college, and then they became a pastor. And so that tug of leaving everything and going and following Jesus, they didn't have to really experience too much because they knew that's what they were going to do. I, on the other hand, had a really cool job as an assistant on a golf course and had worked on the golf course and some really good golf courses. And when God called me to preach, it was leave the golf course and go pastor. And go from Colorado Springs, where in my backyard, Cheyenne Mountain was there, and I mean, it was really pretty, and move to Topeka. When I looked out the back door, there was a car lot. But I'll tell you this. The one thing that I will say about the car lot in the back of the house was I could see the sunset. And in Colorado, you don't see sunsets like you see in Kansas. And every once in a while, God would just show me and go, "Okay, I know you gave up a lot, you think, but you get to see the sunsets." And it was cool. So sometimes we have to give up some stuff. There are some jobs that don't fit with following Christ. You can only imagine, you can think of them. You can say, if I was this, could I really follow Jesus? Probably not. Okay, there are some jobs that don't lend themselves to that. Most of us, though, aren't going to have to quit our job. We might have to stop hanging around with some people that don't lead us in the right direction. We might have to give up some activities that take us away from the Bible, I mean, from the church. My dad, when he got saved, my parents got saved in 1969 when I was 3 years old. One of the things that I remember about my childhood was that most weekends as a little guy, it's probably the only memory I have of being really small, we were on the lake all the time. Every weekend we went on the lake. Sundays especially, because that was the only day my dad had off. He worked Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, and so Sundays was the boat day. When he got saved, the boat got parked. And I don't really remember ever going out on that boat again. And after a few years, the boat got sold. It kind of became my fort because it wasn't being used and you could get under the bow and stuff. And so I made a kind of fort out of it. But I remember asking Dad, "Why are we selling the boat?" And he goes, "We don't have time to use it. And it's just a temptation to keep us away from church on Sundays." And at the time I'm like, well, we could miss a Sunday every once in a while and do that. But I think my dad knew that if he went back to it, he'd fall in love again and it would be a real pull. So there are some things we have to give up. There's a song we used to sing, especially when we were doing altar calls in the old days. And it was a song called "I Surrender All." And it was, "I surrender what I want to do what God wants." And the first thing is to say, "I have decided to follow Jesus." And we don't think about it that like that on those days. We feel a tug from the Holy Spirit, if you will, a conviction that says, "You need to follow me." And so we do that, and then we get to go on this amazing adventure that God sets us out on. So I'll leave you with this. Fans are sellouts, and followers are sold out. They're sold out to God. And again, the reason why it says fans are sellouts is because to be a fan of something, you buy a lot of their stuff, or you accumulate a lot of their stuff. And I got a lot of Broncos stuff, okay? So I'll buy this stuff to be the fan. I can't buy my way into heaven. I've got a lot of cool shirts that talk about God. When I was youth pastor, I bought a lot of Christian t-shirts and stuff. But I'm not a fan of Jesus. I'm a follower. And I hope that if you're not this morning, that sometime soon you will make the decision to say, it's time that I start really following Christ. Let's stand this morning. Father, I thank you so much for your gift to us in Jesus. The fact that you sent him here to live, to show us how to live, and then to die for us so that we could have a relationship with you, to be that perfect sacrifice for our sins. You told us that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. And Jesus came, and he did it for us once and for all. I pray that as we think about that, we would not only be in awe of you, but we would decide that if you are willing to send him, and if he was willing to die for us, then we can live for him. We can make the choice to do that. Lord, as we go to our small groups this week, I pray that you will once again reinforce the fact that anyone can serve you and follow you. I ask these things in your name. Amen. Let's sing That's Why We Praise Him this morning as we leave.